Well, family, I had the opportunity last week to share with us in the Bible study about how the Spirit of God has been received upon those that God gave His Spirit to. And so today, I want to take this just a little bit further. Today, family, I want to talk about God's Holy Spirit within us and ask the question, actually two questions. Do you know what gifts that you have? Do you know what gifts that you have? We have learned that God has given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We want to take a look at those gifts. But also I want to go back and remind us of what the Spirit of God is and what the Spirit of God is not. The title, family, for the sermon this afternoon is Using My Gift of Knowledge. Using my gift of knowledge. Knowledge is one of those gifts that God has given to each one of us to understand and have the awareness of His word of truth. He has given us that among other gifts. And we're going to take a look at some of the other gifts as well. But throughout this message, family, we're trying to look and gain and glean from the knowledge that God has given to each one of us. And so as I go along, I want you to think about, what gift do you have? What gift do you have? Do you know? Do you know what gift God has given to you? Today, let's be reminded again of what the Holy Spirit is and take a look at the gifts of God's Holy Spirit to see if we are using that gift. If you will, let's establish once again. I know many of you were not there last Sabbath, but let's establish again what the Holy Spirit is not. And I want to take some time and go through a few scriptures to show us and to demonstrate to us that the Holy Spirit is not three people. It is not made of three people. Join me, if you will, in Ephesians 4. Let's start here. Ephesians 4. Now, for those of you who are taking notes during the Bible study, you may want to take notes again because I'm going to throw a curveball in here. You're going to be thinking you're going to follow my notes, and all of a sudden it's going to really go off. And you're like, wait a minute, he just said that last week. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Let's establish God's word here through the knowledge that God has given to you and to me. He says, I therefore, the prisoner, this is Paul talking, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling. We all have been given a calling, and we are here because of that calling. He says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. What Spirit? That Spirit that God has given to each one of us. That Spirit that is within us. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. Again, that one Spirit is the Spirit of God. So there's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called into one hope of your calling. One Lord of faith and one baptism. One God and one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So here we are establishing the fact that there is one God. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 8. What we want to establish here is God's word identifying the Godhead. And there were only two beings, not three. 1 Corinthians 8. And family, let's drop down to verse 1. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge, and knowledge puffs up. But love, he says, edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one God. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on the earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us, you and me, there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. So now we have established one God, the Father, one Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's go over to John 1. Let's pick up a part of this account here in John 1. Here we're going to see that in the beginning was the Word. John 1 and verse 1. John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says, He was in the beginning with God. Let's establish now who is He, because many have tried to make this to believe and to say something that it's not. The He that is being referenced here is Jesus Christ. How do we know this? He, Jesus Christ, was in the beginning with God. He was with God. All things were made through Him. Who? Jesus Christ. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. It did not comprehend. Now, John is sharing with us, there's again one God and Warden, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Here we read in Colossians 1, starting in verse 1, here Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and the brother of Timothy. He is going, and he is letting you know, grace to you and peace, he says, from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other being here. From God our Father, Paul is sending greetings. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Again, the reference is two beings, Jesus Christ and God the Father. Since we have heard your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before and in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, and it has also come into the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is always among you since the day you heard and you knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. What Spirit? That Spirit of God, that Spirit that is within those that God was working with, that Spirit that is in you and me today. For this reason also, since the day you've heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding. God is giving us that knowledge, the understanding that we need, the understanding of his Holy Spirit, the understanding of his plan and his purpose. And he's given that in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so family is very important as we continue to grow. God has given us that gift, the spirit of knowledge. And we're going to see, even as we go along here, how important that spirit of knowledge is for you and for me. The Bible does not show three beings. In the scriptures that I just read, it identifies Jesus Christ and it identifies God the Father. And so there is no third being. The question, what is the Spirit of God and how does it work within you and me? We were given God's Holy Spirit. How are we using God's Holy Spirit today? Do we recognize God's Holy Spirit within us? Do we recognize the gifts that God has given to us by way of His Holy Spirit? Let's define the word. We just established that God is not three people. Let's establish what the Spirit of God is. Let's define the Spirit in the Hebrew. The word in Hebrew, Spirit, means ruach, R-U-W-A-C-H, which means wind, blast, breath, mind. Ruach in the Bible is used to refer to the Spirit of God. And so here in this definition, we don't see that this is a person or a being. Let's take a look at the Spirit in the Greek terminology. The word Spirit in Greek is pneuma. That's spelled P-N-E-U-M-A. And it means breath and air motion, something necessary for life. Something necessary for life. If we don't have air to breathe, then we don't have life. I think that's pretty simple, pretty cut and dry. As I'm feeling that fan blowing over here, it's reminding me of just what we're talking about, air motion. I've got air in motion over here, coming over here to me. And just as a backup, I got another little air motion, little gizmo up here to kind of keep that air moving. Why? Because that circulation of air is very important to all of us. So the Spirit is not a person. It is the power and the essence of God, not a being. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Let's go back and be reminded. One, we have to repent. And God's Holy Spirit working with us brings us to repentance. Number two, we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our Lord and Master, our High Priest, and our soon coming King. Third step in the process, we have to be baptized into the God family. Or the family of God, not into a corporation, not into a sect, not into a religious cult or group, but into the family of God. And number four, after that baptism, there is a prayer that is being prayed over, and that prayer was prayed over each one of us who have been baptized. The prayer was asking of God to give us of His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, family, came as a result of the laying on of hands. And so here's what we received after that prayer was prayed. We prayed and we asked God to give the individual of His Holy Spirit the power and the essence of God. Now the essence, what is the essence of God here? Webster defines the word essence as this. It is the truth of every presence, the purity of our consciousness and our awareness. And what we are in our original and undefiled beginningness, the ultimate core reality of our soul. Essence is the authentic presence of our being. It is, in fact, the basic nature of the quality or qualities that make something what it is. The essence is a substance separated from another substance, having a special quality of the original substance. All that to say, this comes from God. The Spirit comes from God to you and to me. After laying on the hands, there is a conduit that's open between us and God, so that His Holy Spirit, the essence of His power, is flowing between us and him. It's not a being. It is not a person. It is the power of God. So family, we have a power within us. How do we use that power? Do we recognize the fact that we have the power? Do we recognize, family, that God has given us gifts? And there is no reason for us to ever be depressed or fearful. And we're going to see here in just a moment that this is not what God had given to us. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, we read this week and we heard over the past weekend that the Spirit of God came rushing through the door as a mighty rushing wind. That is the power of God. And that power of God filled the entire room. What are some of the spiritual gifts that God gives to us? And as I go down through this list, see if you can recognize within yourself the gift that God has given to each one of you. And if after we're done and you still don't know what gifts you have, ask someone who knows you. Ask someone who knows you. And they will tell you, oh yes, you know what? You have the ability to do something. What is that something? And as you begin to realize what that something is, I hope that you recognize that it is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. Join me now, if you will, 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's start here and let's take a look at some of the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's drop down to verse 1. Or let's start in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Okay, here we go again with knowledge. I want you to have the knowledge and the understanding of what I am doing and what I have done and what I am giving to you. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be without knowledge. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Doesn't matter. Here's what took place. Here's what has happened. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No one can say that he is Lord except by acknowledging the fact through God's Holy Spirit. If you take a look today, I notice more and more how Jesus Christ himself is being disrespected in the world. There's a game show that I watch probably once or twice a week, and I notice that Jesus Christ comes up in some of the questions on this game show, and they mock Jesus Christ. They make jokes about Christ. See, if you knew Christ, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. But he is saying here, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit identifies who he is. And through our baptism and the laying on of hands, we recognize that because he has given us that understanding. Therefore, diversities of gifts that they are given to us, but they're by the same Spirit. What Spirit? That Spirit of God. There are differences in ministry. By the same Lord. You know, we have different men that get up and speak. We are all connected by that same common thread, and that's God's Holy Spirit. Our messages will be clear and pretty much the same message by God's Holy Spirit. We all have our own personalities and how we deliver those messages, but yet we are still connected by one Holy Spirit. And how do you know that? Well, we go back, we identify those that have God's Spirit by what? The fruit of God's Holy Spirit. We have to be bearing that fruit. Verse 6, and there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through that Spirit. You know, there there are some of you that have that wisdom. We all have it, but we all use it differently. And when it comes to having the word of wisdom through that Spirit, it's very interesting, and I want to share a story with all of us. I love our widows because I learned so much from our widows, and I would not trade the years that I have spent loving and caring for our widows. I had one of our widows a couple of weeks ago. She came to me and she said, "I have to share a story with you." This particular widow, I'm always afraid when she shares a story with me because I don't know what she's roping me into. I always take the bait, especially when she's going to be serious this time. And I fell for it again, and she just gets a big laugh out of it. But she came to me and she said, "I had a problem." She said, "I went out to my garden, and there were voles and moles and little critters running around her garden eating up her produce." And she said she got so annoyed by it, she didn't know what to do. So she used wisdom. She went in and she said, "I had a talk with God about this. I went in and I asked God what to do. They're eating up her garden. And everything that she pretty much has, she grows herself. I think she told me about 90% of what she eats comes out of her garden." Well, these little moles and voles, I don't know what a vole is. I still need to look that up. I don't know if that's a Tennessee thing or what. But nonetheless, it was destroying her garden. So she prayed to God and she asked God for help to resolve the problem. She said a couple of days later, she went out to her garden. And as she walked in her garden, she was met by two snakes. She said one was a copperhead, the other one was a black snake. And she didn't understand why God would send two snakes. "I'm trying to get rid of one problem, and now I have another problem." And she says, "I didn't get it. I didn't understand." And so we were standing around talking, and one of the other ladies says, "Well, the one snake will eat the voles and the moles." I said, "Oh, yeah, well, that's interesting. It would." She said, "What about the other snake?" "It will eat that snake." So she didn't realize what she thought was a problem was the solution to her problem because she called upon God and asked God for it. She had the wisdom enough to go to God and ask God for help. And I said, "By the way, what happened to the two snakes?" She says, "I didn't know all this stuff, so I killed both of them." I said, "Are the voles and the moles gone?" She said, "I don't know. I haven't seen them." I said, "Well, okay." So I was talking to her again today. She has not seen any of those critters. So it's amazing sometimes that even through wisdom, we are asking God for understanding about things. To understand what God is doing, we have to make for sure that we stop and pay attention and look at the big picture here. We have to stop and pay attention. Sometimes God sends us the answer and he sends us the help. And if we don't see it, we'll destroy it. We'll take a shovel up and whack it and tell it to get out of here. "But I was sent by God to help you." "Well, I don't know about that. I don't like you. So therefore, God could not have sent you to help me." And I was kind of laughing a couple of weeks ago, even when I was putting the Bible study together. There was a commercial that came on, and there was this man. He was walking by, and this young lady was talking on her phone as she was standing in her car. He goes over to her. He says, "Excuse me, ma'am." She says, "Ma'am, excuse me." She says, "Go away. I have a boyfriend. I don't need to talk to you. Just go away. You mean no good to me." Okay. As he walked away, he turned around. He says, "You have a flat tire. That's all I was trying to tell you." And so as he walked away, she says, "Young man, can you come back?" He says, "No, you have a boyfriend." You have to be careful sometimes because help is being sent to us, and if we're not paying attention, we'll run the help away. And so verse 8, "For one is given the word of wisdom through that Spirit. Another is given the word of knowledge." Some of you are very knowledgeable about a lot of things. And yet, through that knowledge, has been given to you through God's Holy Spirit. Another, faith of the same Spirit. Others, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. and to others, working miracles. I've not seen any working miracles within the church. Doesn't mean that they don't exist, but God says, hey, to some have been given working miracles. Sometimes when I look at healing and miracles, I think about the gifts that God has given one to understand medicine enough to the place where they can, through God's help, come up with an answer or solution for our healing. But we, family, require that hand of God, the one who has created and designed this body for that healing. God tells us, if any are sick among you, what are we to do? We're to go to the elder of the church and let him pray a prayer of faith over you. And our healing comes from God. But we also have to believe. We have to believe that he is God and he will do what we've asked him to do. And sometimes God takes a different route just to continue to make for sure that we are going to stay faithful to him. He may not give that healing right away. As I've shared with all of you with the condition of my wife, we're going into 13 years now with this dementia. You know, why so long and why hasn't God healed her of this dementia? Well, the lessons today is not for her. As I've shared with you many times, that lesson today is for me. The growth and the understanding is for me, not for her. He goes on to say, others have gift of prophecy. Others have the gift of discerning spirits. And I have to share two funny stories with you here about discerning spirits. In Indianapolis, we used to rent space from a hotel. Every year, we would have the Passover service at this particular hotel. This one particular year, on the night of the Passover, it's always quiet in this hotel. Never a lot of traffic, just real quiet. Well, we had set the room up and we were sitting down when all of a sudden we heard all this loud noise coming from three rooms over. There was shouting and there was things being said that made no sense. And so I was sitting there and I looked up the pastor. The pastor looked at me and said, go take care of that. And me, I'm sitting there like, you're the pastor. You go take care of that. I mean, I knew what this chanting stuff was all about. You're the pastor. You go take care of that. So I got outranked. I was told to go take care of it. And so I went up to the front, and I asked the desk clerk. I said, hey, can you go in there and tell them to turn that thing down? She said, we're not allowed to go in there. I said, well, hey, how are we going to have our service with all of this noise going on up here? She said, I don't know what to say. So in my mind, I'm like, I can't go back. I was sent to deal with this, so I'm going to go deal with it. So I walked up to the door, and there was all this shouting and noise, so I want to call it. And I stood there at the door, and I was waiting for the moment for it to calm down so I can open the door and walk in. So the noise calmed down. Right when I was going to open the door, I heard this. The devil's at the door! The devil's at the door! Don't let him in! Don't let him in! The devil's at the door! I'm going to take the Passover. And now I'm the devil. Didn't go over very well. So as I was going to reach for the door again, the door eased open. And there was this lady. She stuck her head out the door to look to see where the devil was. And she looked behind the door, and there I stood. I wasn't smiling. I wasn't happy that you just referenced me as the devil. One, I don't know how you knew I was at the door, but then again, yeah, I do know how you knew that I was at the door. But she said, the devil was at the door, don't let him in. And when she stuck her head out, I said, listen, I really need for you to turn that thing down. I said, we're trying to have a service three rooms over. I said, and this is disturbing our service. And she looked at me, and I looked in the room. There were four people in here. Why she needed that PA system blasting, the power, I guess, from God's Holy Spirit was supposed to move them to speak in a language that none of them understood. So she looked at me and she just moved back into the room and closed the door. I had a feeling I wasn't done with this woman, So I stood there patiently, waiting for her to turn that thing back up again, so that now I can walk in again and address it. But she waited. She opened that door up. She peeked out again, and there I stood. I don't know what my face looked like. I don't know what my expression looked like. But God's Holy Spirit within me troubled her enough to the place where she shut that thing off, they packed up, and they left. And I went back up to our hall, and we started the Passover service. You see, family, God's Holy Spirit within us can really disturb a wrong spirit. And that wrong spirit recognizes God's Holy Spirit. Just think about it for a moment. If Jesus Christ walked out of the synagogue, and here was a man that was possessed, and that demon recognized Christ, well, we have Christ living within us. Do you not think that spirit will recognize Christ in you? It will. And it does. So after the Passover service, pastor comes up and he says, "Well, how did it go?" I said, "It went like this. I am the devil. And I was at the door. And they wouldn't let me in." He said, "Well, how did this thing get calmed down?" I said, "It's a long story. We just took the Passover. Let's just go on about our business. I'm still troubled with the fact that I'm the devil." Well, then again, I think my grandmother may have called me that too one time. But I think hers was more of I had the devil in me because of something I was doing. I'm quite sure you mothers have never said that to your kids. Never. But here, discerning spirits. Others, different kinds of tongues. In other words, being able to speak a language. And to be able to speak that language, there has to be someone that can interpret that language. But these are gifts that God has given to his people. In verse 22, we read, For the body is one and has many members. But all members of that body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. By one spirit, what spirit are we talking about? We're not talking about a man. We're not talking about a being. We're talking about that power, the essence of God. By one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Whether Jews, Greeks, or whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. We've been made to be a part of that one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but it is many members. It is many members. Let's go over and look at Romans 12. Let's pick up on a few more gifts. Have you recognized your gift yet? Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 3. He said, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly," he says, "as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we are many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. We all have different purposes, but yet we are all part of this one body. But all members do not have the same functions. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." Verse 5. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to the faith. Our ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Some of you have these gifts. Some of you have these gifts. I personally have seen these gifts in some of you. Isaiah 11. We're identifying the gifts. And to be able to identify those gifts, family, the gift of God's Holy Spirit, that gift of knowledge, helps us to see and to understand these things. Isaiah 11, verse 1, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and we know what that rod is, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of the ears. The Spirit of wisdom, do we act upon that Spirit of wisdom? The Spirit of understanding, do we have that peace of mind where we will give a moment to gain the understanding that we need in various situations that we find ourselves in? The Spirit of counsel. Are you one who gives good counseling? Do you find people coming to you asking you for your counsel, for your help, for your guidance, for your direction? The Spirit of might. One of the things that we do know is this. Of all the gifts of God's Holy Spirit, there is one gift that God did not give any one of us in this room. You know what that gift was not? Fear. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, you know how to turn there. For God did not give us a spirit of fear. And so, family, when we find ourselves in situations where we are fearful, what should we do? Act upon those gifts that God has given to us. Be like this widow. Use wisdom. Turn back to God. She went to God to ask God for help. And God gave her that help that she needed. Even though she didn't have the knowledge to understand it at the moment, but the understanding came later by way of those who also had the ability to discern what was going on and to share with her, hey, God sent you those two snakes for a reason. Not to harm you or not to hurt you. You wanted those voles and moles taken care of, and so he sent the snakes to take care of them for you. God has not given us that spirit of fear. When we find ourselves sitting up worrying about things we have no control over, we have to act upon God's Holy Spirit within us to go back again to God. God has given us the power, the ability to be able to rise above these things. These things should not control us. But yet sometimes, family, we do let those things control us. But I am telling us today through God's word that he has not given us that spirit of fear. Some of you ladies sometimes will say something like, you know, some days I feel like I'm just losing my mind. He didn't give you that. He said, I gave you power, love, and a sound mind. If he gave you a sound mind, you can't use that expression anymore. Oh, I feel like I'm losing it. He didn't give you that. He did not give you that. He gave you power. Power to overcome anything that comes in your way. Power to go and you are on top of the situation and the situation is not on top of you. He gave us love. He said, one of the greatest gifts that I have given is love. And I've given you a sound mind. A sound mind. You know what a great blessing that is? To really realize and to know and understand, I'm not losing it. There are some nights I lay up in my bed I'm thinking, oh, no, can't do that, can't say that. You didn't give that to me. You didn't give that to me. So that other being's got to go because I'm not buying in, and neither should you. I did not give you the spirit of fear. I gave you the power of love and a sound mind. So family, we are very coherent with having God's Word and the knowledge of God's Word to be able to be the overcomers that we need to be. God has given us that strength. We need to recognize through His Holy Spirit those gifts that He has given to us. And we need to grab a hold of those gifts as we continue to move forward towards His kingdom. The adversary does not want us to keep looking forward. He wants us to have our heads down. He wants us crying, "Woe is me. I did not give you that spirit." And sometimes, family, we have to just say it out loud. "God, you didn't give me that spirit. You gave me power, and I need to use the power that you have given to me to be able to be the overcomer that I need to be and to be able to grow and to move forward." Sometimes we get into very, very stressful situations. We don't know what to do. Use wisdom. Go back to the knowledge. Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, if you would join me over there. Go back to the knowledge of God's Holy Spirit that He has given to each one of us in order to be able to move forward. There are some days I'll be walking along and everything will be going fine. And I've shared this with all of you. All of a sudden my body does something really weird. I'm like, "Oh, what is that? Where did this come from?" All right, I quickly trying to rise above it. Sometimes you need help to get up and to get going. But if the help is what you need, you use that help to get up and to get going. We don't lay down. That's what the adversary wants us to do. We don't give up. That's what he wants us to do. We don't throw in the towel because it's not over. We have the power, the gift that God has given to us. And family, we have to recognize that gift and begin to work and to show God that our faith and trust is in Him as we continue to move forward. Proverbs 1 and verse 1, we see here Solomon, the son of David, writes, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase his learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel." Are you one to attain wise counsel? When you don't have the answers, do you go to the right place to get the answers? Just like this widow. She didn't have the answers, but she went to God, her father, the one who did have the answers. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and the riddles. Family, in order to understand these things, there is only one place to get it. Verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of our knowledge." It's the beginning of our knowledge. It's the beginning of our understanding. And family, we must seek and act upon the knowledge that God has given to us through His Word. He says, "But the fools despise wisdom, and they despise instruction." Well, family, God has given to us a great gift. Have we taken a moment to stop and think about that gift that God has given to us? Proverbs 2, chapter over. Proverbs 2, let's drop down to verse 6. "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of the justice and preserves the way of His saints." Well, who are His saints? Family, He preserves the way for His saints. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Family, this is where we turn when we need the understanding. We want to gain the knowledge of God through His Word. This is our go-to. Sometimes you have to be careful going to others because of the fact that they don't have that same knowledge and that same gift that you have. We have to be careful going outside of the family of God. Now, granted, there is counsel. You know, the Bible tells us there is safety in a multitude of counsel. But we have to have that discerning spirit. We have to have the wisdom to know what counsel is right. What counsel is right. And the only way we can know that is we have to go back to God and ask Him to show us, to guide us, and to direct us. Sometimes the way is not clear, and so we are to be patient until God reveals it and it becomes clear. And sometimes it takes time for us to get an answer and for that answer to be clear. Sometimes it takes us to be patient. We're not always patient. We want the answers now. I need it now. That's how we are. We're not as patient as we need to be. But God tells us to let patience have her good work. Let patience have her good work. Because the blessings will come as we, family, embark upon that knowledge. Colossians 2, you can just write down Colossians 2 and verse 2. Again, our hearts are made to be encouraged, being knitted together in love, attaining all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mysteries of God. God has given us the key to understanding the mysteries. The mysteries of God. We find ourselves sometimes saying, you know what, I don't get it, I don't understand. Well, then it takes fasting and praying. Because God is willing to give us that understanding. He wants us to be knowledgeable. He wants us to know how to proceed and to move forward in our daily lives. The only place we can go and get that, family, is from God. And utilizing His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit will give us that direction. It will give us the direction. And it will give us the answers. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 13 shows us that great gift, the gift of love. And he says that you may have the gift of prophecy, and you may have the understanding, and you may have all mysteries and of all knowledge, but if we don't have love, he says if we don't have love, then we have nothing. Because out of all the gifts that he gives, he says, love is the greatest. We have to have love. We have to show love. God is love. God demonstrated his love for you and me when he gave of his only begotten son. He paid a very big price for you and for me. We are of a great value to God. We are a great value to God. And yet God loves us enough that he has given to us his Holy Spirit, family. His Holy Spirit that will help us, that will guide us, that will give us the understanding that we need. We've got to stay steadfast. We have to stay unmovable. 2 Peter 3 and verse 14. Again, you don't have to turn there. I'll reference that scripture. But we have to stay steadfast. We have to hold on. We have to do as my grandmother used to tell us all the time. She says, baby, you got to keep on keeping on. I never knew what that meant when I was a kid growing up. But every time I would go to her with something, that was her answer. Baby, you just got to keep on keeping on. Well, I know what that means today. We have to keep on keeping on. We've got to keep going. We have to keep growing. We have to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what Peter is telling us in 2 Peter 3 and verse 14 through verse 18. Again, you don't have to turn there. We also have to be bearing that fruit. The fruit in which God desires of you and me. Our actions must bear the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. Again, you can just write that down because it is talking about the virtue to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Family, we have to learn how to persevere. We have to learn how to keep going and growing. And the way we do that is by utilizing the gifts that God has given to each one of us in this room. Have you identified your gift yet? God has given us, each one of us, a gift, a special gift. And yet, family, of all the gifts, the greatest that he has given to us is love. It's love. That gift of God's Holy Spirit that was asked to be given to us through the laying on of hands, family, was given to us for a purpose, for a reason. God knew that we were going to need help. We were going to need the guidance and direction from Him and from Jesus Christ. Do we acknowledge that gift? Are we aware of the gifts that God has given to us? God gives us the gift of knowledge and understanding of His laws and the writing of His word. This all comes to us by way of God's Holy Spirit. Without God's Holy Spirit, we don't have the understanding. Sometimes we look at our lives without God's Holy Spirit and we see a painting on the wall. We look at the painting means nothing, but the painter looks at it and he's trying to explain what's in that painting. Without God's Holy Spirit, we can't see it. We can't see it. With God's Holy Spirit, we can go back and we can look at it and say, oh yes, I see it. I get it. I understand it. You have that ability to have that understanding. You have that ability to have that knowledge that God has given to each one of us. Family, we should feel rejuvenated and we should be able to just walk out the door and know that from this moment forward, with God's Holy Spirit, all things are possible. Now I get it. Now I understand why you said that. All things are possible with God. But we have to believe that. We have to act upon that. Without God's Holy Spirit, family, within us, we don't have the understanding. We can't understand the framework of God's plan. With God's Spirit and the knowledge that He has given to you and to me, we get it. Knowledge defined by Webster: facts, information, and skills acquired by a person through experience and through education, or theoretically or practically understanding a subject. Do we understand the subject of God's Holy Spirit? He gave that gift, the very precious gift that He has given to each one of us sitting here. Family, we need to take time and reflect on that gift and look within ourselves. If you don't know what gift you have, ask your neighbor. Ask your neighbor. Ask them, what do they see in you? He's given each one of us a very special gift. You know, one of the greatest gifts God has given me was that wisdom that the widows provide. The wisdom that the widows provide. God knows the person to send to me to get my attention quickly. It's a widow. Because He knows I can't argue back with them. I can't fight with them because I'm going to lose. They're going to just tell me like it is. Family, that is a great blessing to me. That is truly a great blessing. And I recognize that blessing and the gift of God's Holy Spirit through our widows. I see that gift. I implore that gift. And I am thankful for that gift. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge." He says, "And I will also reject them from being a priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God, and I will forget your children." I will forget your children. The people are destroyed because He threw away the knowledge. That knowledge is a part of the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Family, we cannot throw that knowledge away. We must continue to build on that knowledge and that gift that God has given to us. That knowledge, family, opens doors to understanding the things of God. Understanding the direction that God desires for you and for me. Let us take this not for granted, but let us begin, family, to look within ourselves and to ask God, show me of that gift that you've given to me. I know that I have your Holy Spirit, but there's other things that go on here that maybe you didn't know. They're gifts. Do you know what your gift is? Do you recognize your gift? Well, family, let's find that gift and let's grow. Let's continue to grow and help each other to grow. We are all a part of one body. We are all united together by a common thread, family, and that is the gift of God's Holy Spirit.